you know, both of us being musicians, you know, and we both had such a deep love for music. I think he heard about me, and then I think he came over to my house or something.
What street did you grow up on?
East Oakland.
And what street did he grow up on, do you know?
He grew up on Mill Street on the west side.
You guys got to know each other musically.
Tell you the truth, I can't really remember 100%. Because he's a couple years younger than me. You know, I had to be about maybe 15 or 16 years old then. And I've been playing for a few years, and, you know, he's already kind of a seasoned musician, you know. And we just kind of got together and took off from there, you know.
I was really surprised when I heard that he died that I really didn't know who Del Mar was. And when I asked around the radio station around town a little bit, there's a lot of people who didn't know. He was known fairly well in the tight little music circles, but outside of that, he wasn't anywhere near as well known as he should have been, considering his stature, you know, musically, you know, in this country. Why wasn't he better known, even around here in central Illinois?
Well, you know, it's kind of like maybe if he was like a straight-up like pop musician or something, he would have been more well-known. But it's like in jazz, you know, it's kind of like a underground thing. You know, it's not really a super popular music, so a lot of great people go undetected. You know, it's like the average person out there in the streets, they don't know nothing about Charlie Parker or Coltrane or Charlie Mingus or any of those guys. These guys were total music geniuses.
And he ended up playing with some of those musical geniuses like Miles Davis and Quincy Jones and people like that. That's what I'm getting at is, you know, I understand his solo career, you know, wasn't a well-known one nationally, but boy, he played with the biggest names in music.
He did. Yes, he did.
Did he ever talk to you about his time with Miles Davis, Quincy Jones?
You know, he went to college over at ISU, you know, and I think he kind of overwhelmed him with his musicianship or something, you know. I'm pretty sure Frank Stokes or somebody suggested that he went to Berkeley. So he went out to Boston. He went to school at Berkeley. And he called me up a couple of times and said, "Hey, man, you ought to come out here, man. There's a lot of gigs." I wound up going out there, too, maybe a couple of years after he had already been there. You know, so we were pursuing music careers, and we just kind of, like, joking back and forth. We had another roommate, a guy from the Virgin Islands. His name was Hugh Peterson. And we was all kind of talking to each other. We was wondering who was going to be one of the first people to get out there and maybe, you know, play with some of the professional people out there. The guy, Hugh Peterson, he was a drummer. He got an audition with the Weather Report. You know, he was all glad. You know, all happy about it. But he didn't make it with the band. He didn't make it. You know, I think Peter Erskine got the gig. But then maybe about a year or two later, Drummer got like an audition with Pat Martino. And he made it. You know, I mean, it was a big deal out in Boston, you know, at least with a lot of his jazz musicians and all the people that knew Delmer. So he took off from that. And I think he worked with the a whole bunch of different groups, one of them, Jaco Pastorius, a whole bunch of other people. He would talk to us about them. So I guess a few years went by, and I came back to Bloomington for a minute and just kind of pursued a local musical career and then played a few other towns. I moved to Champaign, and he kept growing and growing. And next thing, it's like I moved to Chicago, and he called me up one day and said, "Hey, man, I'm playing with Sting now." You know, wow. That was totally floored. And he got us, I think he got me, his mom, and my mom, and my brothers and sisters. He must have got about 20 tickets, you know, backstage passes, man. It was like absolutely phenomenal.
John Norton talking with Chuck Tripp, who knew Del Mar Brown very, very well. He played music with him growing up in Bloomington, and they stayed in touch until Del Mar passed away earlier this year. Well, you mentioned a couple of names, you know, Sting and, Weather Report and, just all these different names. Miles Davis we talked about. Del Mar had his own career as well as a solo artist, but he was mainly known for some of the bigger names that he has played with, and that include Bruce Springsteen and Peter Gabriel, among others. Was he more comfortable in the role as a sideman, or was it just the money was it was good enough that pursuing that solo career was probably a back shelf thing for him?
I think he was pretty much satisfied with trying to do both. I mean, I think anybody in their right mind, if you have an opportunity to get out there with a big star, you know, it not only helps you financially, but it helps your career out. You know, because, like, you can use, put those people on your resume. You know, when people find out that you played with Sting, then it makes it easier for you if somebody else calls you, because you've already been out there. You're already exposed.
Did he ever tell you a great story or two that you can share with us on the radio about maybe playing with some of those bigger names, whether it's Miles or Yasu Endower or Quincy Jones or whoever it might have been?
Well, the only thing that I thought was kind of interesting was, I guess it was the night after he played with Sting, he invited me to, he was staying at the Ritz-Carlton downtown in Chicago. And I went up to his room, you know, and it's like, you know, he was living like a rock star. Had a huge hotel room, was like really, really decked out and everything. But he was telling me about Sting. He said, you know, because a lot of times you just take it for granted, you know, big stars, you know, life is like, you know, it's real easy and it's real nice for him. But he told me that Sting really couldn't really go out in the daytime. He said a lot of times he would just go out and hang out at night. He'd run the streets kind of a lot more free than he could in the daytime, because people would probably swarm him, you know, in the daytime, you know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
What, in your mind, made Delmar Brown so special?
You know, Delmar was, he was really a genius, I think. It's like, when we were kids, he would tell me, like, when we were in high school, we was playing with a group called Band X then.
This was at Bloomington High School?
This was Bloomington High School, yeah.
Okay.
And I'd ask him, what do you do? You know, we'd have a weekend off or something. I'd say, what are you doing this week? He'd say, oh, man, I want to go on this 24-hour sabbatical. He would practice like the 24 hours straight almost. You know, maybe take little cat naps, just learning different stuff. Like he might work on like Oscar Peterson stuff or work on Herbie Hancock stuff. You know, it's like he was listening to like really super advanced music even back then. You know, a lot of us, I didn't understand a lot of it at first. You know, so he's really good. You know, he'd spend 24 hours learning really difficult Jimmy Smith tune or something. He just was really dedicated to music.